Thank you, choir. Thank you, Jenna. I just want to let you know, if anyone is interested in joining the choir, all they have to do is speak to Jenna. It's not a closed group.
No, you just show up. You don't even have to talk to them.
So it's so good to be here today and to see the sunshine. I just came from Montana where it's snowing. Yeah, they got 12 inches the day I left. So I come here and I have sunshine. It's kind of nice. So I have a little story for you this morning, and it's a story about a little girl. I may have told it before, but there is this little girl, and she's sitting on the floor, and she's surrounded by pieces of paper and color crayons and pencils, and she's got her tongue stuck out like little kids do, and she's busy drawing, and her mother comes up to her, and she says, "Honey, what is it you're drawing?" And she said, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." And she said, "Well, you can't really do that because no one knows what God looks like." And the little girl answered, "Well, they will when I'm done." And isn't that true? We all have our own picture of what God looks like to us. And really, a long, long time ago, when they first came to the decision and the understanding that there was only one God, the concept of God was so huge and so vast that they had to humanize it and give it human form. And that's where we get this idea of the old man in the sky with the checklist. Yep, look at what she did today. And so that was what we needed in order to be able to wrap our arms around that concept of the divine. But as we have progressed through the thousands of years, and my teacher that taught the Old Testament when I was in ministerial school says, God grew up. Well, actually, it isn't so much that God grew up, but our conception of what God is matured. Our consciousness grew. And so in the science of mind, it says we comprehend the infinite only to the degree that it expresses itself through us, becoming to us that which we believe it to be. Well, what we understand about God, you and I, and those of us in this philosophy, the thing itself, whatever we want to call it, is that it is universal life. In it, all things are created. All of the stuff that we see here are God's creations, the trees, the rocks, the planets, the people, the animals. Everything comes from that one source, and this life is individualized and made manifest within each one of us. It's part of you, it's part of me, it is us. Truly, we are spiritual beings having a spiritual experience in human form. In human form, that form that we have been created into. Now, in the book The Seven Whispers, the author talks about the interactions that occur between God and man. And there are those. And she sees humanity as this great big body. And she's maybe the freckle on the elbow. And when you look at it that way, you can see that each one of us is a part of the whole. Each one of us is a part of the whole, an integral part of the whole. And each one of us gets to bring our own particular gifts. In her case, she brings the freckle. So in this, the science of mind teaching, on page 121, it says, our teaching is that man actually has a body, that he actually has a subjective life, and that he actually is a spirit. Body, soul, and spirit represent a point where individuality is accentuated and universality. It is only through this conception that we can arrive at the consciousness of the unity of the whole. In other words, if I have one mind and you have one mind and God has one mind, how do we communicate? I cannot talk with you and you cannot talk with God. If your mind and my mind were not the same mind, we would have no way to communicate with each other. Thus, we are forced to the conclusion that there is only one mind. Each individual is a unique variation in the universe. No two people are alike, yet all people are rooted in that which is identical. And isn't that true for us, that we are rooted in what is identical? We are rooted in the spiritual. We are all rooted in the divine. And we all want to have an active relationship with something greater than ourselves. Now, some of us procrastinate and we don't follow through with our intentions and we put off our particular good to some future point in time, don't we? We procrastinate. And we have to understand it's not about religion. It's not about religion. It's not about religiosity. It's about a spiritual knowing, a spiritual knowingness, an inner knowing. We know there's a God, and we know God answers prayers, don't we? And we know that God changes life. However, sometimes we're not very clear about what we want to change or what we want to create. And so how can God create it for us if we really don't know what it is we want? And we also understand if we want to change, there's only one thing that we can change, and that's ourselves. We do not have the ability to change another person. Now, each one of us has our own unique gifts, and we bring our gifts into this lifetime, don't we? And some of us know what they are, and some of us don't. So how do we bring them forward, and how do we discover what they are? Well, we do what we can do. And we be who we are. We be the truth of who we are. We be our divine selves, our authentic selves. And when we do this, we get to discover our own language by which we can communicate with God, with the divine, and we can gain a deeper understanding. Christina Baldwin, the author of Listening to the Voice, said that the divine is always trying to communicate with us. It's us who aren't listening. It's us who are not listening. And she says that it whispers to us. And she wrote another book. It's called The Seven Whispers. And she talks about the whispers of spirit, the whispers of common sense. Now, in the book, An Interrupted Life, it says, there is a deep well inside me. There is a deep well inside me, and in it dwells God. And sometimes I'm there too. But more often, the stone and the grit block the well, and God is buried underneath. And then he must be dug out again. And don't we do that? We allow the activities and the things that happen in our life to get us off focus, and God gets buried in the grit and the dirt. And it is peace of mind that will give us a clean slate. It is peace of mind that will allow us to start again and to allow that clean slate. That peace of mind allows spirit to write messages for us on it. In other words, in order for us to hear the divine, we must create a receptive space, a peaceful receptive space where it can communicate with us. Imagine, if you will, a bowl filled with water with sand in the bottom. You know, the sand is all settled and the water is clear. Peaceful water. Now take your hand and stir that dirt in the bottom, and the water clouds. It's kind of like our minds. When we stir our thoughts, when we're involved in drama, I know that when I'm involved in drama, my mind is not necessarily clear, and I don't necessarily hear my guidance from the divine. It becomes a bit cloudy and difficult to see through, and many of us have minds that are not trained for peace. I have a whole play going on in my mind with different characters in it. I have my parents and my children and my teachers and my bosses. All of these people are speaking in my mind. Some of them are very informative and some of them are very annoying. But it's my job. It is my job to figure out how come there's rooms for so many people in there. But it is my job to bring order to the court, right? Order in the court. Here comes the judge. I get to be the moderator, so to speak, of all of those voices. I get to calm them. And one of the ways we do that is through our spiritual practices. Now I know I should be doing my spiritual practices every day, don't you? And things come up and is there anybody here that doesn't get their spiritual practices done every day? Yeah, some of us just don't seem to make time for it, do we? Okay. So we're going to try something. Huh. Is there anyone here who doesn't breathe? If you don't breathe, please raise your hand. Okay. So we're going to try something. We're going to breathe in And as we breathe in, we're going to let go of any stress or tension that we feel in the moment. And then we're going to breathe in again. And this time we're going to breathe into that silence in our heart space. We're going to be here now. Remember, peace is all around us. We simply must step into it. Be here now. And then again, we're going to breathe and we're going to say in that silence, what now, God? What next? What next? And then say nothing more. Let's just stop and listen. Okay, so let's try it. Breathe in, and as you breathe out, let go. Breathe into that heart space where peace is. Breathe in and ask, what next, God? What now? And then move into that silence and listen. See how easy that is? I guess you really do have time to practice the spiritual practice on a regular basis, don't you? Because we all have to breathe. Often throughout the day and throughout the weeks, I don't know about you, but my life gets pretty active and things are going on and there's a drama. Does anybody besides me ever have any drama in their life? And we can choose. We can choose to step into the drama, or we can choose to stop and to breathe and to move into that state of peace. So what do you want to do? Do you want to contribute more drama, or do you want to contribute peace? It's your choice. All you need to do is breathe. And also, many of us, myself included, move at top speed. We're rushing to go places. We're rushing to get things done. We're always in a hurry, aren't we? I've got to get here. I've got to get there. I've got to get this done. I have till 5 o'clock and that's it. And I have to be finished by then. Rushing can be pretty tiring. So moving at the pace of guidance is moving like you were walking with your three-year-old and observing what your three-year-old sees. Oh, look, there's ants crawling across the sidewalk. Oh, look, there's a worm that the rain brought up. Oh, look at the flowers that are budding up on the trees. Things that when we're speeding through life, we miss. Often we're so busy rushing that life just flies past us. We get so busy that we miss out on the gloriousness of life, on the opportunities we have to enjoy life. Being a human being means being, not doing. Machines do things. Machines wash your clothes. Machines vacuum the floor. Right? Machines can do the dishes, but machines can't walk your children, and they can't take the dog for a walk, and they can't just stand outside and breathe in and smell the freshness in the air. Machines can't do that. We are human beings born in this world to experience it, and if we're in too big of a hurry, we don't really get the opportunity, do we, to experience. In order to listen to guidance from the divine, we get to slow down. And whatever you see as you're slowing down, those little coincidences, even an illness, can be a message from the divine telling you, slow down, slow down, slow down. Simon and Garfunkel had a song. It was called... what was it called? Feeling groovy. Slow down, you move too fast. You have to make the morning last. And the next verse said, hello, lamppost, what you doing? I've come to watch the flowers growing. And it ends with, life, I love you. Feeling groovy. And don't we all want to feel groovy and love life? Slow down. Stop and watch the flowers growing. And then we get to practice a certainty of purpose. That means we get to figure out why we're here and what our purpose is and what it is we're supposed to do and what we are going to do about it. We get to balance our lives, don't we? We get to balance our needs with the needs of our family and the needs of the greater community. Remember, that little freckle on the elbow may seem pretty insignificant unless, of course, it becomes malignant. And then it can affect the entire body. We need to take care of ourselves. So when you go home today, and I'll remind you for your homework, I want you to try sitting down with a blank piece of paper and write something about yourself in the third person and complete this thought. Once there was a man named George or Bill, or a woman named Linda or Dana or Ann, who, and let spirit fill in the rest. Just quiet your mind and let spirit fill in the rest. Or you can write this other phrase instead, and it says, right now I am, and allow spirit to fill in the rest. And you'll be amazed at some of the answers that you get. They aren't going to be what you expect. They may be quite insightful and they may surprise you. When we become aware of the fullness of ourselves, when we become aware of the fullness of ourselves, of our spiritual nature, we will understand that God is always trying to communicate with us if we will but stop and listen. And when we become aware of listening, we will understand what our purpose in life is to be, because God is ever present with us every day, every moment, all the time. You can't run away from it. You simply need to stop and pause and listen to the wisdom of the divine, because it is wisdom. And surrender to surprise. Rumi says a quote, "My boat strikes something deep. At first, sounds of silence, waves. Nothing has happened. Or perhaps everything has happened and I am sitting in a new life." Surprise is the opportunity, the chance to open to something new and different in our lives, to get out of the rut. And you know, oftentimes life brings us experiences that we of ourselves would not have the courage to choose on our own, doesn't it? That's certainly not something I would have chosen. And yet, look at the lessons we learn from those things. Look at the lessons we learn. Sometimes surprises can startle us awake. Sometimes they can shock us to the core. Sometimes, I don't know, how many of you guys have electronic planners, or you have planners? You write down everything you're going to do today. Do you leave a little space in there for a surprise? Do you leave a little space in your life for a surprise to happen? Because sometimes we plan a journey and it doesn't unfold exactly like we expected it to. I can speak to that. I bought this property and I thought I was going to live there the rest of my life. I had 20 acres. It was ideal. I built my own house. I planted this huge garden. I was there. And whoops, I had a surprise, and here I am in Alaska. I had my life all planned out. Boom, it changed. And isn't that wonderful? Wonderful what God has in store for us. We get to have these unexpected interruptions in our life and to relish them and to grow from them and to love them. I love life. We get to leave a little space in our day for those unexpected happenings, things that are not on our schedule. Sometimes those surprises, those coincidences, are life speaking to us. Straighten up, Linda. You need to do something a little different. Ask for what you want and give what you can. When you do this, you bring into action the law of reciprocity. We are dancing. We are dancing with giving and receiving. The village is dancing with giving and receiving. As we give, we receive. As we receive, we give. It is a circular motion. As long as we keep giving, the flow keeps on happening. It too is a spiritual practice. Every action creates a reaction, whether we like it or not. Think about it. Even breathing is a reciprocal action. I want you to try breathing in and just stop. You know it doesn't work. It's a reciprocal action. We breathe in and we breathe out. And we get to love the folks in front of us, don't we? That means we get to look for the good in that person, whether it's obvious to us or not. And sometimes it's not very obvious, is it? But we get to look for that. And that entails dropping our judgments of others and how we think they should be. Because isn't that when we're disappointed, we set up in our mind an idea of how when someone's supposed to be, we don't tell them. We don't tell them how they're supposed to be. But we have this idea, and then we're disappointed because they don't live up to our expectations. And it can be revealing, too, to share yourself with others. Some of us are very careful not to let anybody get too close. If they can't get close, I can't get hurt, right? I had a friend tell me one time in my past, you only get out of a relationship what you are willing to put into a relationship. That's that reciprocal nature thing. If we're afraid to share ourselves, if we cut ourselves off, we're never going to get close to someone else, are we? Because we're too busy keeping that wall up. And truly, okay, this was one of mine. I don't need anybody. I can take care of myself, right? Anybody said that? I don't need. Think about it. Think about what you said. We depend upon the plants and the animals to feed us, don't we? If we didn't have them, where we wouldn't be here. We really, it's a reciprocal universe. It's give and take. We have to share. None of us, not one person in here, could totally survive on their own. Quite a lesson. Quite a lesson. We are interdependent on other God stuff, whatever that may look like. It can look like animals, it can look like other people, but we are interdependent on other God stuff. We really cannot do it alone. And each one of us, think of those cigarette commercials where the little kid says, I'll take one of those, and the man says, you're too young to smoke. Just because I do it doesn't mean you should, right? Each one of us impacts other people whether we know it or not. And we impact them with our good habits and we impact them with our bad habits. People emulate others, don't they? Our children, the ad that with the kid on the phone, you know, the dad's busy talking on the phone, doing everything. And the next thing you see, this little kid and he's on the phone and missing life. I'm busy texting. Right? So, return to the world, return to nature. Meister Eckhart told us, if the only prayer you ever say in your whole life is thank you, it will be enough. Oh, Creator God, I am grateful for this day. I am grateful for the sun. I am grateful for the moon. I am grateful for the rain. I am grateful for the snow. I am grateful for the rocks and the birds and the trees. I am grateful for the heat and the cold. I am grateful for my body through which I can experience life. And I am grateful for every person here who gets to share that experience with me. There is no world other than nature. And we need to remember that by and how we live in it. Nature is the world. We are in it. We are of it. And we are linked to it. And what we do to the world affects us. And what we do affects the world. And what happens to the world affects us, doesn't it? Come home to nature. Think about rejoining nature and the cycles of nature. We're moving now out of the time of rest, out of the time of darkness and rest, into the time of new beginnings, into the time of when we plant the seeds. And then we move into the time when we nurture the seeds and we pull the weeds, right? And then we move into the time of harvest. And then we move into the time of rest. And then we get to begin again, the cycles of nature. And we do that every day when we get up in the morning, don't we? We move into the time where we can plant the seeds. We do it every day, whether we are aware of it or not. Nature shows us the pattern of how everything is useful and connected. Nature gives to us abundantly. And with that knowledge of nature, we come to understand that we are interconnected with the divine. We are interconnected with the divine. We are interconnected with one another. There's only one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. That life is your life now. We are interconnected. We are one with God. So your homework for this week is to write down one of those two phrases and let your still mind, not the one with the gravel stirred up, but your still mind, answer it. Once there was a man who, you get to complete the sentence, or right now in my life, I, and you get to remember, you get to finish that sentence right now in my life. And then remember, as you're doing this, remember to breathe consciously. Take a breath and let it go. Take a breath, center. Take a breath and center. And take a breath and ask, what now, God? What, where do I go from here? What now, God? And so as we move into this, to our time of prayer, I'd like to ask you to take the name of anyone, including yourself, that you may wish to be included in our prayer, and speak it either aloud or silently into this circle.